Well, I want to talk a little more this morning about working out your own salvation. And this is such an important thing that I could talk about this a lot of times and it'd still be important. The scripture says, work out your own salvation. And folks, let me tell you something. It's important that you keep your mind on yourself. And keep working on yourself. There's going to be a lot of folks that will miss it, trying to straighten out other people. I have a text in Songs of Solomon, the first chapter and the sixth verse says, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. You can't do a good job of keeping your own vineyard while you're trying to keep other folks' vineyards, and you can't keep theirs anyway. After you've gotten all upset and agitated and worried and worked at it and everything, you still can't keep the other fellow's vineyard. Your salvation is the only one that you can work out. And let's don't miss working out our own salvation by trying to straighten other people out. If God can't straighten them out, they can't be straightened out. You and I surely aren't going to make any headway trying to do that, so let's don't waste our time at that. Now I want to begin this morning by reminding you that you are the guardian of your own soul and the master of your own destiny. Things are going to work out in the end for you just like you're shaping them up as you go along. If we could project our thinking on down to the end, and how things are going to come out in the end, and realize that the end for us is going to be just like we're shaping it up as we go along, we might be inclined to do a little shaping up on ourselves. And doing some work on our own salvation. Now God wants us to be sincere about what we're doing. And He wants us to serve Him in godly sincerity. Therefore I would say, if anything you are doing, and I mean anything. Oh, you may say, well, this is good. All right. But anything. I still say anything. If anything you are doing has a tendency to cool you off spiritually and make you lean in your soul, quit it. We're working at our salvation. Working out our own salvation. Don't waste your time trying to spell it out as sin. Or whether it's sin or not, but just take note of the way it's affecting you. And if it's affecting you adversely, quit it. Whether you can prove it's sin or not. Whether anyone else can prove it's sin or not. Whether it is sin or not, that's not the important thing. The important thing is how it's affecting you. And if it's cooling you off spiritually and making you lean in your soul, quit it. Amen. In the interest of your own soul. In regards for your own salvation. And your relationship with God. And His blessings and richness in your life. Quit it while it's sin or not. It might not be sin. But it'll lead you into sin. That attitude will lead you into sin that you know it affects you adversely. You know that it makes you lean in your soul. But I want to do it and I'll just go on doing it anyway because I don't think it's sin. But it'll lead you into sin. I recall a time, and probably this would be 14 years or thereabouts ago, is after Opal had passed, I was alone, and my daughter and her husband would have me over to their place for dinner one night a week, and then they would have me stay and watch their children while they went out on that night. And it was always the same night in the week. When they would leave, they would tell me, "Now we let the children watch this program and that program on television. So they can watch that." Well, they would, and I'd kind of off and on watch it along with them. And I got to noticing that when I'd get home on that night and go to have my devotions, that I felt like the Lord was quite a ways off. Now, I didn't have much prayer. Well, I watched that a few times, and it was that way on that night every week. I'd kind of watch that thing along with them, and then I'd get home, and I wouldn't have much devotion. I wouldn't have much prayer. So I decided that was no good for me. And I began to make other plans on that night in the week when they'd call me and say, "Can you be over tonight?" Well, I'd say, "I have other plans tonight. Somewhere else to go. Something else to do." Well, I saw that was no good for me, and when Evelyn and I were talking over our plans before we were married, I told her several different things. She told me some. But among the things that I told her was, I will not live in a house with a television in it. Well, now, they had had one, and I didn't know what they still had it when her husband was living. But I want that understood. I'll just not live in a house with a television in it. Oh, she says, "We don't have any television." Said after Eldie died, we got rid of that quite a while back. I remember my mother said, my mother passed away in 1953, 15th of February, and that'll be 26 years this next February. Television was just a new thing then. It hadn't been in very long, but everyone was getting them. My mother and her serious, solemn way, she'd shake her head. She'd say, "I'm afraid there won't be very many people, if any, ever get to heaven from homes that have television in them." Now, she could see that way back there. Now, after I had that experience, I saw it as time for me to do something, and I did something. I just stopped going over there on that evening. And staying with them children and watching that thing. I am convinced to my own satisfaction that there's an evil influence with that thing, and that there is an evil worldly spirit that goes along with it. And all I have to do is just observe the money there is back of it to conclude that millions upon millions of dollars back of that industry. And I'm conscious of the fact that the world puts its money where the people of the world want it put. And what they're going to enjoy, and I don't believe that anybody can be very spiritual with that thing. But I was working out my own salvation. Shortly after I had that experience, I never said anything about that. But shortly after I had that experience, Sylvia Forbes, who is now Sylvia Busby, she wasn't married then, she was just a young woman at home, she testified to almost the same identical thing where she was babysitting. And that when she'd get home, she wouldn't have much prayer. Her prayer was gone. I don't believe Sylvia and I are the only ones that ever had an experience like that either. I believe if people would speak up, there'd be a lot of folks that could say that too. And I just don't believe there's going to be people develop a deep spirituality with that. Now, let us realize that anything that is divesting us of the rich blessings of God in our lives, we need to eliminate that out of our lives. You see, the point is this. The richer and the fuller that your spiritual life is, and the closer and sweeter your relationship is with Christ, the less likely you are to be drawn away from Him by the things of this world or to be overcome with strong temptation to evil. You've got something that's precious to you. Something that's valuable if you're developing it and working it out. And enriching your life with the divine virtues and graces of God and a closer relationship with Him. You've got something that's worth something to you. If you're just kind of drifting along a little bit anyway, then you come up to some strong temptation. The natural inclination will be, well, what I've got isn't worth fighting for. And you'll be easily drawn away. The only way to protect yourself against that is just keep a good, close, sweet relationship with Christ. See to it that you do that. And whatever hinders you from doing that, put that away. Just don't waste time arguing with yourself or trying to spell it out as S-I-N, sin. Just regard your soul and you're working at your salvation. Neither waste your time trying to figure out why some other folks can do that thing that you have just put away from you for the sake of your spiritual life, and they can seem to be spiritual. Don't waste any time trying to figure that out. God's Word tells us that we must, everyone, give an account of himself to God. Now, I'm the one that's going to have to give an account of myself. You're going to have to give an account of yourself. So let's act that way. Let's think that way. There's a tract out, others may, you cannot. We say that God deals with all men just alike. Up to a point he does. We say there's no respect of persons with God. He deals with everybody alike. But does he? We have a case in the New Testament, Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man and he was a disciple of Christ. Nicodemus was a rich man and he was a disciple of Christ. There were no doubt other rich men that followed Christ that's not mentioned. But Christ never talked to any of these men about their riches. But when the rich young ruler came to him, he did. He said to him, if you would be perfect, sell that you have and give it to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Why didn't God talk that way to Joseph of Arimathea? Why didn't he talk that way to others? It wasn't necessary. It wasn't needful. Jesus knew that their hearts were on him and not on their riches. But he also knew that this rich young ruler's heart was on his riches and not on him. So he struck right at that. God deals with all men just alike up to a point. The conditions of salvation are the same to everybody. But in the personal life, it isn't the same to everybody. God deals with you and me as individuals. We need to recognize that. And as he deals with us, not look around to see what other folks are doing or if they're doing this or wearing that. If he points out something to us, get busy at it. Work at that. I'm talking about working out your own salvation. In James, the first chapter, verses 22 through 24, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, folks, that's bad. Self-deception's about the worst thing I can think of. There's a lot of deception in the world today, and a lot of slick talkers and fair speeches. And people might innocently fall into some of these things and be affected by some of these things. But to deceive oneself, that's such an unnecessary thing. That's a bad thing. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself. That's the fellow you need to behold too. That's the fellow you need to look at. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God puts his finger on something. Points out something to you. Deals with you about something in your life. Points up your attitudes to you. And something in your behavior. Something in your disposition. He just puts his finger on something. Turns a light on it. Deals with you about it. Work out your own salvation. Get busy at it right then. If you don't get busy at it right then, the next thing you notice is that you've forgotten how you looked. Forgot that God ever dealt with you about it. And you can just go right on with your hand raised high and sing, "I'm on the road to glory, praise the Lord." But that thing still back there, you just forgot it. Jesus teaches you and me in his word, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. It's when the light is turned on that it's an important time for you to do some walking right then. Right while God's convicting you about something. When His Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. And you're seeing yourself short here or there in this way or that. That's the time for you to do some walking. That's the time for you to do some measuring. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. The light is moving on. Let's keep pace with it. And right while the light is on, that's the time for us to work. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 5, he says, examine yourselves. That's you he wants you to examine. Again, people are too busy examining other people. And let me tell you this, when that thing is going on and you're examining other people, you just almost use a microscope. You can get down there and find some of the minutest details about other people and notice just about everything about them. But while you're doing that, you're slipping on yourself. That's no good. Whatever you find about them, that's no good. If you find people wrong, that's not going to help you any. If you can find fault with other people and prove it, that's still not going to help you a bit. Work out your own salvation. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. What? Know ye not your own selves? It was a big order that some Greek philosopher put out when he said, man, know thyself. For a man to know himself is a pretty big order. The Bible says, who can understand his own errors? Nobody. Unless God turns the light on him. When God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit, then we can see ourselves, and that's the only time we can see ourselves. As long as we compare ourselves with others and measure ourselves by other people, we'll never see ourselves. You'll never see them as they are, and you'll never see yourself as you are. You're working at it the wrong way. Man, know thyself. Let us seek to do this by submitting ourselves to God and opening our hearts and minds to Him for His Spirit to deal with us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if we'll allow it to, and just open our hearts and minds and be willing to accept the admonition of the Spirit, He'll bear witness with us if we're not children of God too, and convince us of that. He'll bear witness to us that this thing or that thing is right, but if we'll humbly submit ourselves to Him and open our hearts to Him, He'll bear witness to us that this thing or that thing's wrong too. It's difficult for us to accept that if it's something in our own lives, something about ourselves, something in our own disposition, our own makeup. It's difficult for us to accept that, but God's Spirit will bear faithful witness with your spirit of what's right and what's wrong. And when He does, that's time to do some walking. That's the time to move up. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only. In 2 John the 8th verse, it says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. You can't do that when you're looking to the other fella. And let me tell you this right at this point. When I was meditating along this line last night, this come to me like this. And when you've got your eye on someone else and someone else's faults and they're kind of gouging you and they're kind of agitating you, you may say, how can anybody be saved and be like this or that? Well, I'll not argue that. Maybe they're not saved. Maybe they are. God's the judge in that. But you're pretty likely to get unsaved through all that agitation that stirs up in you, looking at those people and their faults. We're taught in God's Word to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And folks, if we'll do that, we'll be successful. We'll run a good race. We'll run a winning race. I have told you a time or two before about the fellow I read of in the Reader's Digest. He was training for swimming competition in the Olympic Games. He was a champion swimmer. And his trainer had a line stretched across the pool where he was training. And he'd swam by that line. And he kept making better time and better time as he practiced more. Well, his trainer realized when he got in the actual competition that there wouldn't be any line there for him to go by. So when he got along to a certain point, he took the line down. And the swimmer's time began to drop off. What he was doing was zigzagging a little bit, varying some. He's used to swimming with that line. Now the line was gone, and he couldn't keep a straight course. He'd zigzag some. And it's taking him a little more time. So his trainer goes over to the other side of the pool and drives a stake and puts a flag on it. And he told him, says, now, you keep your eye right on that flag. Make right for that. And he did, and his time began to pick right back up. Yeah. Folks, we're just losing time when we're getting our eyes off of Jesus onto other folks. Wasting time. Coming out behind, and we're likely to lose our race at that. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Just keep your eye right on Him and make right straight for Him. And you can run a straight line or swim a straight line or however you want to put it. And get right on over there in good time. Make progress. Work out your own salvation. Your own. And I'll say it another time, your own is the only one you can work out. So don't be wasting your time trying to work out other people. All right, now we have a text. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. 2 John 8, look to yourselves. And in the 26th Psalm, the second verse, the psalmist prayed, examine me, O Lord. Try me and know my reins. Now how does this go together? Examine yourself. Now he's praying, examine me, O God. Well, that's easy. Your salvation is a cooperative work between you and God. We are told in Philippians 2 and 13, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And it is as we submit ourselves to God and open our hearts and minds to Him for Him to work in us freely of His own good pleasure that our salvation can be worked out. It's us working with God. The combination that we have here, the thought involved, is you examine when God's examining. You search when God's searching. Sometimes people say, I search and I search and I've examined and I've examined and I don't find a thing. Well, you can look a lot in the dark and never find what you're looking for. But when God's Spirit comes in contact with your spirit and turns the light on in your soul. Then search. Search when the light's on. Search when God is inspiring you. There's a spirit in man, Job said. Job 32:8. There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. And as God is turning the light on in your soul, His Spirit in contact with your spirit, and the light's on, and He's letting you see yourself like He sees you, and see yourself in the light of God's Word and in the light of heaven, search then. And you'll find the things that need to be corrected in your heart and life regarding your affections, regarding your actions, your talk, your thoughts, and the various things that go into the process of living, making up your life. And you can't see those things till God is pointing them out. So examine yourself. God, examine me. And it's while God's examining me that I need to examine. And while God is searching, then I need to search to find the things that go into living, making my life and affects my relationship between me and God, and then work at it. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Let's stand now and be dismissed. Kind Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we humble our hearts now to thank you for the faithfulness of your Spirit, for how you will faithfully guide every soul if they'll submit themselves to you, for how you will point out and point up to us everything that goes into our living, words, thoughts, deeds, actions, attitudes, feelings, everything that needs some fixing. Help us to respond to you when you do this. Help us to walk softly before you and be sincere about what we're doing. Help us to value our souls and our spiritual relationship with you, and have respect to the recompense of the reward, and work diligently at our salvation. Bless us all now. Comfort all of our hearts in the Lord, that we may live for you and do your will in everything. Dismiss us from this service with your blessings upon us. Be with us now in the time between this and the 2:30 service. Help us to spend the time in the intervening period in a way that would be pleasing to you, and that you would be pleased to meet with us this afternoon. And pour out your Spirit and power and anointing and grace upon the service. We ask you these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We promise to give you all the praise and glory for everything. Amen.